All right, hello everybody. So we've already talked about chronal sequences and macropores, so half of my work has been done. But I'm working in the South Carolina Piedmont, which is not so far from where we are today, working at a Duke University at the Calhoun Critical Zone Observatory. My advisor is giving a talk at this very moment, so I got to compete with him for audience members. But we got a few people in here, so that's pretty good. So we'll go through the kind of land use history and what will set the stage for the chronosequence of land use and land abandonment in the southeastern U.S. It's probably familiar to most folks, but we'll go through it pretty briefly. I'll introduce the study site, which is the Calhoun CZO. Well, all of this, you know, old field succession is going to structure the experimental design as the chronosequence framework. And then we'll talk a little bit about soil CO2 across land use comparisons. Then we'll dive into a little bit of soil structure analyses. At this point, really just through the framework of soil bulk density and some cool, I think, initial results from X-ray CT, looking at macropores. We'll have a couple conclusions, future directions, and then we'll wrap it up. So what's the historical overview? What are things looking like? This star in general, South Carolina, is where we're working in the southern Piedmont. 1700s, pre-European times, we imagine we had pretty monodominant hardwood forests blanketing the landscape. And then, of course, European colonists came over. Tobacco, cotton plantations were established. They ran for a couple hundred years. And the soil got completely blasted and destroyed. It's estimated by Stanley Trimble that there was an average of 18 centimeters of bulk soil lost everywhere. Of course, you have areas that lose more with gullying erosion and complete washouts, and some that got a little less. But in general, we lost a huge amount of soil linked to agricultural degradation. But for the last 100-ish years or so, we've had a blanket of loblolly pine forests that have either been planted or naturally regenerated across the landscape that are essentially blanketing the environment. And that's kind of what we're wondering is as in the last talk, is this merely a blanket of vegetation, or are we regaining some of our ecosystem functions deep in this environment? We think about deep environments because we are a critical zone observatory. The idea is analogous to that of a terrestrial ecosystem, but we are explicitly having a focus from the very beginning that we're considering processes from the treetops all the way down into bedrock kind of environments, looking, you know, not every researcher can study all of the things that happen in that continuum, but we try to, as a team, get the whole expanse, vertical expanse, as it were. This is relevant, of course, along the lines are similar to mining kind of degradation. We've got plantation agricultural abandonment happening across the globe, especially in the humid tropics and subtropics. And so we want to know what's going to happen next. And so this environment is a great place to learn about that. We imagine, so I've kind of mentioned the hypothesis already, we think that it's all is probably not well and good under the ground, even after 100 or so years of forestry growth. And so we're going to look at soil atmosphere and macroporosity to try and quantify it a little bit. So we've got reference hardwood forests, nice forest with my dog running around in it, continuously cultivated agricultural fields out there with a field of sunflowers monitoring some soil CO2. Got old field secondary pine forests, which are probably about 80% of the landscape at large in the southeast Piedmont, at least. And so we imagine that soil macroporosity and soil CO2 ought to be highest across depths and in general in reference hardwood forests, having never been plowed, never been disturbed or destroyed. With both of these variables, obviously, we assume should be lowest in agricultural fields. And the question is, okay, well, where do old field forests fall that have been regrowing in these systems? It also bears mentioning that we have really deep soils. So we're monitoring that, for me, shallow soil investigations start at 50 centimeters, and then we go to a meter and a half, 3 meters, and 5 meters down the soil profile, monitoring and measuring CO2 percentage, concentration. So in reference hardwoods, last year, we got depth on the y-axis, time on the x-axis, and concentration in color. And we see that hardwoods have this amazing ability to accumulate lots of CO2 below the B horizon. Agricultural fields, however, they're not dead, but they don't have a lot going on, relatively speaking. And so when we imagine, okay, what are old field pine forests looking like, we see that there has been, you know, a good degree of regeneration or change in the system, but it doesn't have the ability to accumulate nearly the same amount of CO2 below ground. And it's also worth noting that all three of these plots are, they're each within 100 meters of each other, so it's not, you know, we're controlling for space and soil as good as we can. And so generally, as I said, what we're seeing, you know, below the B horizon, there are pretty stark and pronounced differences between old fields and hardwoods. Old field pine forests and hardwoods. That said, to segue, to get into porosity or macroporosity, reference hardwood soil, CO2, isn't always highest. We can imagine where our roots vegetation most concentrated in any of these treatments. Agricultural fields, they're going to, you know, if it's corn, sunflowers, soybeans, whatever they're growing, they're going to have most of their roots shallow in the soil profile. And so instances where we have higher CO2 in things that are not reference hardwoods tend to happen where we expect their roots to be most concentrated. I imagine in hardwood versus old field, where this like blue color is indicating where old fields actually have higher CO2 than the hardwood forests on occasion, that's probably just where most of their roots are kind of stuck. They haven't been able to penetrate deeply enough yet. And this plot, which is kind of messy, we just say that we've got the kind of darker green. I've got a laser pointer somewhere, or a mouse. There we go. From some soil pit excavations, we have evidence that there tends to be greater root abundance under hardwood forests deep in the profile, but things get a lot more chaotic as we get closer to the surface. And so it seems like if we're looking to see a signal of regeneration, it might behoove us to look a little more shallowly in the profile. So to think about soil atmosphere roots and porosity, soil CO2 obviously lives and moves and is transported in macropores. And these macropores, if they're destroyed, they have to generally be recreated by biota, whether it's macroinvertebrates or roots. I'm attributing it principally to tree roots in this talk. And so the hypothesis is just that perhaps the old field forests haven't had enough time for the roots to penetrate and get back through the B horizon yet. So we're going to move up and investigate the topsoil a little bit to see how they compare. Of course, a good place to start out is bulk density. We've got kind of reference hardwood forest bulk density measurements here around, you know, 1.3 grams per cubic centimeter. And when we compare it to our co-located agricultural plots, we see that bulk densities increase. That's not much of a surprise to anybody. After about 100 years, though, we start to see that bulk density is coming down in our hardwood in our old field pine forests, which is a good thing to see, that we kind of have a regeneration of porosity in these old field systems. It's beginning to come back down towards pre-agricultural conditions. And it's perhaps P equals 0.046, is that significant or not? I think it might be. But if we're really interested in porosity, it's kind of hard to measure directly, but we're going to try it with X-ray CT, which is X-ray computed tomography of intact soil cores, to try and measure, just straight measure directly, macroporosity in the soil profile. So what do? We've got an X-ray gun, we've got our soil core with a couple of standards on it so that we know how to interpret the density of the material we're looking at, shoots out some X-rays, and we get a soil a profile image. You know, turns off, rotates a little bit, blasts it again. You do that a couple thousand times, and you end up getting beautiful three-dimensional data, like you would if you go to the doctor to get a tomographic analysis of yourself. Spatial data resolution is at about 74 microns, which is just about right. It's kind of towards the bottom end of macropore diameter. It's not perfect, but it's about as good as we can do. And in the event that you're really interested in the settings of the X-ray CT machine, I've got them up there. This is fun. So what we're seeing here, the data is density. It's the density of material at a 74 micron resolution. So this little pellet, if you can or cannot see it, it's a shotgun pellet. It's a piece of lead pellet from the dove field, agricultural dove field, where people go out and blast doves every summer. And I found a couple in my cores, and so it made it really easy to identify what it was. I made this legend. I am partially colorblind, so if the colors don't match exactly, you have to use your imagination. But we've got reference hardwood soils on the left and agricultural soils on the right. And basically what we can see is that they're, well, I guess it started partway through. That's okay, it'll start over. There's a lot more going on in reference hardwood soils, especially once we get back to the surface. There's a lot more heterogeneity. There seem to be more roots and just a lot more structural variability going on, whereas the agricultural field seems to be pretty monotonous, not very exciting. Movies are great, and I was really proud of myself when I was able to get the thing to tell me how deep in the soil profile it was, but we like graphs. And so I've got 45 of these cores. I had enough time to get through the first 9, and that's what we'll talk about now. So in all of the graphs and things that we've seen, it goes follows the chrono sequence: hardwood, agricultural field, old field pine. It's exciting, you know, it's a limited, it's just the first part of the data. It seems like the old field forests and reference hardwoods have comparable macro porosity in the upper 15 centimeters of the soil. That's like, that needs to be the case. I'm really happy to see that that seems to be the truth. And they also seem to have a comparable amount of coarse organic matter. I'm hesitant to say that it's all roots, that it's all root material. It's some kind of carbon. Most of it should be roots, but so the amount of coarse organic matter and roots in the upper 15 centimeters is also seems to be pretty comparable between the two treatments with this first subset of the data. But we can also look at the distribution of empty macropores. It's just macropores that are got nothing in them. And for some reason, in this plot, in this, you know, one set of replications, the hardwoods have very little. And it was kind of neat to learn. I coincidentally chose, for the first set of analysis, a set of hardwoods that also have a bunch of cattle in them. And so I imagine that maybe they've just squashed all the macropores in the topsoil that don't have roots, that they're not occupied by roots. So I'll have to see in subsequent analyses if hopefully this pattern disappears and goes away when the cows leave the landscape. A couple of conclusions, though. With X-ray CT and bulk density analyses, it seems like we're regenerating soil structure. We've got some evidence that macroporosity and rooting networks are being reestablished in surface soils. But we at the Calhoun and my advisor, we love to look deep into the soil profile. And of course, the deeper we look, the more evidence there is that these systems have not yet kind of gone all the way back with regards to their root penetration into the deep soil profiles as evidenced from soil CO2. Future directions, I've still got 39 soil cores to analyze the X-ray CT data. We'll learn more about it. And we're also gonna go deeper into the soil profile with X-ray CT analysis. There's a poster about this on Wednesday, which I encourage people to check out. I'm also gonna be doing water stable aggregate analysis to see about the cohesion or how strongly structured these soils are. Also going to try and measure KSAT down to 5 meters deep. It's the one of the things left to do in my dissertation that has me in cold sweats at night. we're getting there. And then eventually I'm going to graduate and have a postdoc. And if you want to give me a postdoc, I'd love that very much. Feel free to chat with me if you thought any of this was interesting. I've cited some people. I especially need to thank at the NSF CZO program. They've put the bill for almost everything, but also the Duke Shared Materials Infrastructure Facility and the Forest History Society explicitly gave funding for the X-ray CT component of this work. And with that, we will have any questions if there's a moment. Thanks.
Your movies there were pretty cool.
Thanks.
The one thing I took away was that your reference stands, the macro pores were like macro pores, like capital macro.
Yeah.
So when you see the old field and you look at pore size distribution, are you making your way all the way back out to, that large?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you think of just like the histogram, the overwhelming majority of them are tiny, you know. But yeah, you do capture, you know, cubic millimeter size pores in the analysis. Yeah. So, you first, I suppose. Sure.
Differences in earthworms or insects or termites, interested in termites.
Yeah. We've got 2 years of sampled invertebrates that are currently being ID'd. So one of my co-authors, Matt Callahan, he and a couple of grad students of his, we've got 2 years of leaf litter and upper 30 centimeter macroinvertebrate surveys that are in process. Yeah, that will be really exciting to see how they map onto it.